Wonderful. Thank you so much. Oh, man, I like smoke and fire. Oh, it is so good to be with you. It is so good to be with you tonight. How many of you are excited to be here? Just turn to somebody next to you. Tell that person, man, you are the right place. Come on. Just quickly. You are the right place. I know we have some elderly people here. Just tell them, relax, it's a youth meeting. It's okay. It's a youth meeting. My goodness, I love young people. I get excited. I want to talk tonight just something a little bit different. Because of the young people, I want to talk tonight to you about what I call the passion and power of young people. There is a force sitting here tonight. You have no idea the power and the passion that God has placed within us as young people. When we look to the world, tonight when we look around the world, most of the greatest powerful accomplishments that has ever taken place in the world, it's done by young people. There's something that God has placed in our young people that is powerful. And I want to talk to you tonight about it. Are you guys with me? Or you can say amen. It's okay. This is not church. It's young people meeting. I know in Faroe Islands you're a little bit quiet, but tonight you don't have to be. How many of you have a Facebook? You have a Facebook. Come on, I want to see your hands. You have a Facebook. Is that all? Just put up your hand again. The rest of you, come to me. I'm going to help you. I'm even from Africa. I'm going to help you. Facebook. Who's the guy that started Facebook? I can't hear you. Mark? Aha. How old was Mark when he started Facebook? I can't hear you. At the age of 19 years old, he started to create this thing called Facebook that has shaped the whole of the world. The world will never be the same because of one young man, 19 years old, shape the face of the world. My daughter's just turned 18 years old, and I'm here in Faroe Islands, and I go on Facebook, and we chat. Isn't that great? And we chat. How many of you have a computer tonight? Come on. How many of you have a computer? Some sort of computer. I believe most of you have a computer at home or at school. If it wasn't for a young man with the name of, I can't hear you. Come on. Bill Gates. Bill Gates. Bill Gates was also 19 years old when he invented computers. And today, the world cannot go without computers. I'm even using one. It's a miracle from Africa. Computers have shaped and changed the world. My daughter, the other day, she was born in New Zealand. She's got a Maori name. Can you say Aroa? Can you say that again? When we were in New Zealand, God spoke to us to marry the land, and we didn't know how you marry a land. And so eventually, my wife was pregnant, and God says, hey, give your daughter an indigenous name. So we went to the Maori elders, and we asked permission. And so she's got a Maori name, Aroha. And it means affectionate love. The other day, she just turned 18 years, 28 of February. And she has just been enrolled in university, study for a degree in arts. She's the drama queen in the house. Oh, man, you know, many times I wanted to break her door. There's always noise and singing. It's just crazy in the house. And she phones me. She says, Daddy, my assignment is I need a computer, I need a laptop, and I need a printer. And it's a young person, perhaps as young as you are. There's a few of us here tonight, you don't qualify anymore. I'm not talking to you, you're too old. I'm really sorry, I don't want to offend you, but you can listen. But I'm not talking to you. She needs a computer, and my wife and I, we're driving up, and we gave her a laptop, of course, my wife's one of the workers. Now we don't have one, but she needs one. And then there's a guy. He built his whole empire. You will recognize him if I tell you his name. He built his whole entire power and success on the dedication of young people. His name is Hitler. And I know you're thinking, but was that good? I'm not talking about good and bad. I'm talking about the power and the passion that is in young people. And he used young people for his cause. And when we begin to look around the world, that the world is awaiting you tonight because of the gifts that God has placed in you, and especially as we're celebrating this day. As a 13-year-old little boy was killed in 1976 in South Africa. His name, and a lot of you will not know him, but his name is Hector Peter. Hector Peter was 13 years old when he was shot by white people during apartheid. But one of the legacies that will always live on when you think of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, because if it wasn't for this 13-year-old boy, he stood up against the most powerful forces of apartheid and white people, and he says, I will resist it. They kill him, but his life lived on forever. And we have freedom today in South Africa because of a 13-year-old boy. See, history has always been shaped by people like you and not me. I'm also over, I'm dyeing my hair so that you can't see all the gray hair that comes out there. Today, when you come to South Africa and we talk about no more apartheid, then there's a statue, and it's this 13-year-old boy, and we can still see the pictures of his brother carrying him after he was shot by white people. I was fighting and resisting this force of apartheid. And I can mention many, many young people across the world, in Europe, in America, that have shaped the landscape of the world. But the question that I want to ask tonight and get to it is, what has these young people all in common? They were from different cultures and different languages. They came from different societies. But what was the thing that they all had in common? Different. Some of them were American, German, black. Thinking of the 13-year-old Pakistan girl. They shot her in the head because she wants education. Here in Faroe Islands, you guys not even thinking about it. Every time when I come here, I want to kiss the ground of Faroe Islands because you're so blessed as young people. I think you're so blessed that you don't even think that you need God anymore, because everything is for you here. Are you guys with me? I heard that some of you, when you go and study in Denmark, they even pay you to study. Is that true? I mean, like, and pay you to start, like, and you don't pay? They pay you? I'm going like, God, why did you create me in Africa? I want to be here. I want to be in Denmark. I want to be in Faroe Islands. You are blessed beyond what you can imagine. 13-year-old. And she says, man, you can kill me. She just won the prize the other day. She said, but I will stood up for women, for young women, so that they can get an education and the oppression of the Taliban and all the extremists. What is this one thing that brings all these different people together? And tonight I want to talk to you about that. I call it consecration. I explain the word, don't worry. They were all consecrated. They will all of them were consecrated. And when you go and look up this word consecrated, what it really means, it means that they dedicate themselves to a higher purpose and a cause much bigger than themselves. And the question that I want to ask you tonight as young people is, what are you living for? What are you dedicating your life for? What is the purpose for why you're living? It cannot be just to be surrounded by this beautiful island and all the beauty that you have. There must be something greater. One of the things that my wife and I are so blessed when we come to Faroe Islands, Where's the lady that was just leading us in worship? You're like an angel. I want to tell your husband that he needs to remember to appreciate you. Not just once. Always. Because we can take her to Africa. And then we had that incredible gift of young man that sat on the in the beginning, and he was telling us how he's writing songs and he's singing it. And I'm thinking, I can certainly make money with him because he's so gifted. God has blessed you with so many gifts, Faroe Islands. Sometimes I just want to cry because it feels like some of you are not even aware of the gifts that you have been blessed. And this word consecrated means that you begin to understand that you have been born for such a time like this, for something higher than just to make life and go to college, which is good, and get an education and marry a Faroese. Live in these beautiful big houses. Must be more than that. What are you consecrated for? Consecration means that I understand that I have been set apart by God even before my birth. There must be something bigger. I remember when Jesus met me on the street, I talked to him and I said, God, is there a purpose for me in my life? Because my own family men walked past me, had no time for me. They didn't want to recognize. And God says, yes. I said, you must be joking. I said, I've been taken out of school by white people. I've been forced as a slave worker to work in the farms. I just heard that you guys have some incredible farms here. Like the cow. Man, my head is too small. I'm African. Like the cow decides by himself, or I want to be milk. I heard it. And then the cow will walk in. And then there's a computer that says, oh, the cow has just arrived. Tell me it's a joke. And then the computer goes on and the computer milks the cow. Did they lie to me or is it true? Anyway, but they said there's a farm somewhere here. And I think the guys the other night, they were singing about the green or blue cow that's on that farm. I'm working on the farm and they've taken me out of school. I'm being beaten. this little boy, father's run away. Never met him up to this day. My mother died when I just turned 7. And I'm thinking, man, is there purpose in life? Is this all that I have been born for? To work on a farm until one morning at 12 o'clock, I started to run because I thought there must be a bigger meaning. And then Jesus got hold of me and he says, yes, I want to consecrate you. Wilson, I want you to live for a bigger purpose than just coming to church and just coming to youth and just go and study. There's a bigger purpose. And I said, God, are you saying this to me? And he says, yes. I said, what is this purpose? And he says, man, it's the world. It's Faroe Islands. It's Norway. It's Sweden. It's China. And I can mention 70 nations that I've traveled because there's a greater purpose for living. Seeing all these young people that we talk about, they've consecrated themselves for a much bigger purpose. And tonight I want to ask you I'm not going to talk long. What are you living for? What are you willing to die for tonight? And Joshua chapter 3 verses 5. God has released the people out of the Egypt. And they've been wandering. Almost all died in the wilderness. And Joshua chapter 3 verses 5. And here's what God is telling him to tell the people. Listen to this. Joshua 3 verses 5. And then Joshua said to the people. And they discouraged men. They've lost hope. Some of them has died in the wilderness. And then Joshua came to them and he said to them, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders in your life. If you can consecrate you tonight, for tomorrow, God might use you in a way that you've never seen. If you can just consecrate yourself tonight. See, when we give ourselves to God, when we say, yes, we are willing to live for this higher purpose, all of a sudden, it's like God takes this insignificant life and he multiplies it and he sends it to the world. But you just need to be willing to say to him, yes, tonight, I want to consecrate myself. I believe that God wants to release a great revival. And I believe that revival is going to happen with the young people. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. It's not going to happen with some of the old, how do you call them, old toppies. Whatever you call them. But I don't want to offend some of them. They're sitting here, the pastors here in the house. But it's not going to happen with him. See, what the two of us are doing, we're just helping to lay the foundation. You are the next move of God. But you got to consecrate yourself. It cannot just happen like that. God wants to do the miracle through you. He said to Joshua, go and tell my people, if they consecrate themselves tomorrow, I will do a miracle. And then the rest is history because Joshua is leading the people into the promised land. I believe the church needs young people that don't just come for the feeling, that don't just make a commitment at Easter. And then we're waiting for another Easter. I believe the church needs young people that don't just make a commitment when there's a camp. How many of you have been to the camp? I had a few camps can I quickly see your hands? Just keep the hands there. That's a few of you you've heard me. You've heard me preach in some of the camps. Faroe Islands, you can't live from camp to camp. There comes a time that God is saying to you that you need to make yourself available so that you can live for a higher purpose. The nations is waiting for you. Can I say that again? Oh man, you miss an opportunity to say amen. The nations is waiting for you. Amen. Thank God. I'm going to pay you. The nations is waiting for you. The consecration that the church needs from the young people is young people that is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I will not be influenced by my peers. I don't care what you think of me tonight. I am sold out for Jesus. Do we have somebody like this in this house that is not ashamed for Jesus? Do we have somebody here tonight that says, man, whatever it costs, I'm willing. I'm challenging you tonight to respond to God and consecrate yourself, Faroe Islands. And when we consecrate ourselves, we become an example to the nations. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12, Paul talks to Timothy as a young man. Young man, and here's what he says to Timothy. Verses 12. Don't let any, let me just talk to you. How old are you? How old are you? You're so old. How old are you? 11. Ooh, too old. 11. Ooh. Oh, I can't talk to you. You guys are too old. Can I have somebody that's 8 years old here? Anybody 8 years old? See, at the age of 8 years old, Jesus consecrated himself. His mother's looking for him. She's getting berserk. She's screaming. Where's my son? And she's screaming in the church. I can imagine she's like an African. And she called Jesus. Where? She finds him in the temple because he understands the purpose for him living at the age of 8 years old. Consecrated to God. She stroll fall into the, what are you doing here? And he says, what do you mean what I'm doing here? I'm just doing the will of God. This is where I should be. This is where I should be. And here's what Paul writes to Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for who? For the believers. You're not setting an example when you are shy. You're not setting an example when you don't want to talk to Jesus. You're not setting an example when you want to keep the good news just to yourself that we celebrate today that Jesus has died. You're not an example. He says, I want you to be an example to the believers. And then he mentioned, and I just want to quickly go into this, and I'm going to call the worship team up. You don't want to talk. We want to respond to God more. Oh, they're already coming. That's good. No, you can come. You can come. I like it. This worship team is great. I just want to mention a few things that he is asking them to be an example in. And then we'll have you. If you guys can just hang in there. You guys look so beautiful. We want to look at you. But you really look so handsome and beautiful. And here's what he says. 5 things. He says to Timothy. And tonight he want to say this to you. 5 things. He says, Wilson, what do you mean I need to consecrate myself? I said, this is the areas that Paul is writing to Timothy that he would consecrate himself. And he says, the first one, you gotta consecrate yourself in your speech, in the things that you talk and with your peers and the people around. That's the first thing. The second thing, in your conduct. Can people see in your behavior and the way you behave? This is the second thing that you need to consecrate yourself. And then the third thing is, he's writing to him. He says, in your love to other people. not just to the people and the youth of this church, and not just to a certain color. I'm so happy that I'm not just loving Africans. My friend, I'm so happy, Abram, that I love people from all the nations, and I've met you and your wife, and you're so beautiful. Come to Africa. And then he says, I want you to consecrate yourself in faith and in purity. Let me talk here to the ladies. Don't let the guys impress you with the cool hair and with that six packs and the nice stomach that's, you know, don't let them impress you. Keep your purity. And so tonight, man, I'm talking too much. Tonight I want to challenge you. Who of you want to say here tonight, just like Mark and just like Bill Gates, that God, I want to live for a higher purpose? Who of you tonight wants to say there must be something more? And tonight, on this day that Jesus sacrificed the biggest sacrifice, I want to consecrate myself. I want to sacrifice. Who of you tonight wants to say that I'm not ashamed? I want to live for a purpose. I don't want you to close your eyes tonight. We're not playing church here. I want you to stand if you want to consecrate yourself to Jesus. And you want to say, man, I'm not ashamed. I want to live for Him. This is the moment that you want to make clear that the whole island know that it's you that God will use to bring revival in this island. I want you to stand if it's you. If you want to say tonight to Him, God, I want to consecrate myself. I want to live holy that you would use me. Can you quickly stand? I want to pray for you. Don't look around. I'm not talking to the person next to you. God is talking to you tonight. If it's you and you want to consecrate yourself, my God, you gotta stand. If you want to live for Him full out, man, we need to do something even more radical tonight. I want all of you to come to the front here. Quickly, just come, just come. Don't worry about anybody else. Just come. You're saying, God, that's me. You're saying, God, that's me. Just come to the front. I want to pray for you. Can you lead us in a song? Can you lead us? While you're coming, we're going to sing a worship song. Come.